there. Comb the whole area. Hurry!
Look, buddy, I'm afraid we can't consider your bike being stolen a police emergency. If it doesn't turn up, then come down to the station and fill out a report. That's the best we can do. Come on, let's go.
Where are you going, Pee-Pee?
To find my bike.
AM WSBC. Welcome back to another week of the Hooli's Hooli Radio Hour. Mm-hmm. This show is presented by McCann's Irish Oatmeal.
Yes, it is.
And Jim McGing.
Jim McGing, my friend.
Personal injury attorney, Chicago. Yeah. My name is Patty Houlihan. I'll be your host all hour. And joining me as always to my left is my twin brother, Billy.
What's
Billy
up? Hutt.
And tonight, a special guest. Clay is on vacation, folks. It's our old friend, comedian Pat Chase. Hi, Pat.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Welcome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Well, as you can tell from the top, the little teaser before the episode music played,
right.
We had a little Pee-wee there. That's Pee-wee Herman, and he's talking about his bike being stolen.
Yeah, I mean, we might, yeah. I mean,
unfortunately, I'll have to break the news to our radio listeners if you haven't already heard, but Dusty, my prized mountain bike that I purchased off of Craigslist from a Russian named Eugene 2 weeks ago. Has been stolen.
Yeah, he's gone.
Not even 2 weeks into ownership. He has
COVID, man.
Wrangled from me. Stage four. COVID, man. Yeah, I think that's what the police officer said to me. I said, my bike's gone. He said, COVID, man.
That's it. That's what everyone's doing. What's going on? COVID.
Can't make a report. Sorry, COVID.
Yep. If I shoot, like I hit a ball in the sand trap, I'm like, COVID. You know, I mean, that's how people, that's how they react to it.
Are there any sorry COVID shirts out there yet?
No, but sorry COVID t-shirts sounds great.
Sounds like we need to market that soon.
Absolutely.
Or it's not me, it's COVID.
Yeah, I like that.
You know.
Getting back, my bike was stolen off the property of my townhome on my porch while my wife was home.
Right.
I was helping mom and dad move.
I was in front of you when this this theft. Well, when you were made aware of this theft.
Yeah, my parents are moving from one condominium to another condominium.
Right. Well, they have. It's over now.
Yeah. But I was helping them move for the day, and I got a call. My daughter was with me.
Right.
And Bill, you were there as well.
Of course.
My daughter was begging to play on my phone. And I said, finally, and I finally relinquished the phone to her and let her check her Instagram or whatever she wanted to do.
Right.
And she got a message you know, via one of the social platforms, maybe TikTok or something like that, from another girl who lives in our row of townhomes. Hey, the police are in front of your house.
Right.
You know, like, hee hee, giggle, giggle, you know?
Oh, gosh.
And I was again. And she said, hey, Dad, so-and-so just said the police are in front of our house.
And he was like, what?
And I was like, give me the phone now! You know? I knew. Like, I just knew.
Yeah.
I had this, like, inherent, I was like, my bye.
I did too.
I was like, Dusty was parked the outside. I was like, I hope he hasn't been hurt. And so I called my wife immediately, Pat. I'm like, give me the phone now.
Yeah,
I call my wife. She's like, hey, what's going on? You know? And I was like, Haley, what are you doing? She's like, nothing. How's the move going? And I was like, there's police in front of our house. Go outside and check. She looks out the window. She goes, oh, yeah. And I go, see if Dusty's looked there. You know, like, I'm worried about the bike.
Yeah.
Think it's gone. And as soon as she walked outside, she's like on the phone with me. She's like, it's not here. Where was it? I was like, it was locked to the railing on the stairs.
Yeah.
She's like, nope. And then sure enough, the police officer, my wife was like, you know, she's like, I'll call you right back. And then that's when the grave news came that the bike had been stolen. However, my neighbor across the gangway witnessed the entire thing.
Right.
And she saw two guys. I thought they were kids. Turns out they're men.
Okay.
Come up to the property with, they got backpacks, but they had all the gear. They had like a little mini blowtorch.
Who's this and,
like,
Eugene guy that you bought it off of? Is he like a wanted man or something?
I don't know. Eugene's a couple episodes back. Okay. By the way, if you like this story and you like following the chronicles of my life, you can find archived episodes of the Hooli's Hooli if you go to hibernianradio.org.
That's
thanks,
right.
Thanks for the reminder.
Sorry
there,
about that.
you threw me with Eugene.
Eugene, but no, about the bike getting stolen. You said they weren't men and they had backpacks. They were men and they had backpacks.
Yeah, they had backpacks with gear in them. So they knew exactly what they were doing. They're on foot. They roll up. They see my bike and they see my neighbor's bike. So they didn't just take my bike. They took another bike as well.
Right.
But my neighbor across the, my other neighbor across the gangway watched it, but she was too nervous to go outside and confront these guys, you know?
Sure.
And I'm like, were they kids? Were they teenagers? She's like, I think they were like teenagers. Okay.
Yeah.
But she took pictures of them, like 50 of them, through her window. And when the police showed up, she was like, here's the guys who took them, you know? And they were like, oh, okay. And they see the pictures, and the police had already captured one of the guys on the bikes. So they were there that fast. They had already captured the guy like three blocks away. But then the other guy who had my bike, long gone. He gone. He had the nicer bike.
He had Dusty, man.
He had Dusty. Dusty can fly. He
dusted everyone out of the neighborhood.
It didn't matter who was riding Dusty. Yes, he could fly.
Yeah. And
it's like Seabiscuit.
Everybody wants to ride Dusty. That's why Dusty's not in my possession anymore. So he's gone, but the police said, oh, we recognize this guy, you know? And if she can identify him in a different lineup of photos, maybe we can get your bike back, you know?
Yeah.
And the other guy that they caught fingered that guy as well, right? And they let him go. But nobody presses charges on this stuff anymore. Because nobody wants to go to court and it's a misdemeanor theft. So a lot, like it happens all the time, and the police were like, oh, these kids just get out. They never get in trouble for it. You know, he's like, we'll take them in. They're out 2 hours later. They never show up to court, whatever. It's the end. And so they're asking me, they caught the guy 2 days later, right? I get a call. They're like, hey, we caught the kid who stole your bike. And I was like, do you have my bike? You know? And they're like, no. No, we can't get the bike. We don't have a warrant to go into his home or anything like that and search the premises. Also, do you have the serial number of the bike so you can prove that it's your bike? And was it registered with the police department? And I was like, no, I bought it on Craigslist from Eugene, you know?
Yeah.
Right. And the guy's like, yeah, does Eugene have it? I didn't know Eugene was going to come back into my life. Maybe I have to call him again.
What if you called Eugene? You're like, some guy stole that bike. Do you have the serial number? He goes, you know I have it and had it for you.
Oh, wow. I thought you meant it the other way. Like, you know I have it. I have Eugene. I took it. I took Dusty back for me.
Maybe Eugene was behind the theft of Dusty.
Yeah, that's
it's just
what I
a
mean.
Circle. It's just a vicious circle. Eugene didn't know my address. He doesn't know where I live.
No. Yeah.
But I had all kinds of conspiracy theories about where the bike had gone, you know, and like why they wanted it and where it was. But truly, the police said, listen, they can get through any lock at this point. Bikes are such a very hot commodity this summer that these bikes get stolen and they're flipped within 20 minutes of being stolen. You know, they take them right to the pawn store, or they take them to a
pawn shops can't sell stolen merchant, but like you said, you didn't have the serial number for it, so there's no way of kind of.
Yeah, I mean, they say that pawn shops don't sell.
There's
stolen
a back room where there's a ton of bikes.
Where they see bikes the right on bikes, they go, yeah, fine, you know, whatever. It's just a bike, okay. That's why the police were like, if you have the number, we can go look at the pawn shops and see if it was pawned, because we know this kid does that. He does this for a living. He robs homes, and it's not just bike theft that he's been arrested for. He's arrested for a bunch of things. Okay. But I'm like, do I want to show up to court and be the guy who puts this guy away now? You know?
Yeah.
So that's weighing on my mind.
How important is Dusty to you?
Not that important.
All right, then.
Not important enough for me to start sticking my head into like other people's problems.
Getting him like third strike or something. Now he's doing life because Dusty.
I'm gonna kill you. Get out.
You got a Sideshow Bob on your hands.
Yeah, I don't need it. I don't want it.
Right.
I don't want to even invite the opportunity of it into my life. So, I just have to let Dusty go. But Bill, you alluded to the fact that I was on kind of a, you know, it reminded you of Pee-wee's search for his bicycle.
Well, there was that frantic feeling. Whenever you find out you get ripped off, there's like, or it dawns on you that you're about to get ripped off, or there's nothing you can do about it, that like look of panic sets into your face.
Yeah.
And I saw it in him.
It's like.
And as soon as I saw it in him, when it happened, he's like, give me the phone. And then like he called his wife, and then I just looked at him and I was like, it's over. It's done. Dusty's gone.
You know? You could just see his stomach drop.
I could just see him from a distance
away,
and I like walked in the apartment. I'm like, they stole it. And Dad's like, of course they stole it. You know, but I looked at him, and you know, And then it just, yeah, I thought of Pee-wee. I mean, that's what everybody thinks of when they steal their bike, you know. Da, 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 da.
But the crazy, the music was in my head for days thinking about the bike, you know.
You didn't want to do a lineup like Pee-wee down in the basement and everything?
Somebody stole my bike! Francis. Officer, I want to know who took my bike. These guys had blow torches and gray backpacks.
They were headed. I can't do a Pee-wee.
It's not bad.
The police officer was actually really cool about it. He also told me, "Hey, listen, we get so much bike theft now. The best thing you can do is just keep the bike in the house. Yeah. It's like, don't, you know, if it's parked outside or you got to tarp it, put a tarp over it.
If he told you to
put it, be seen.
You know what you should have done? If the officer was like, well, if you have a tarp, put it over it. You should have got him, and give him like a Pee-wee laugh. See if he got the joke.
Yeah. that was pretty close.
Sorry. No, so I agreed, and I had been keeping Dusty indoors. I felt that way from the start.
Right? And then you ungrounded him.
Well, it got on my wife's nerves that Dusty was being brought into the home a lot, you know. And I understand it because it was taking up like half the living room when I'd bring it in.
Yeah,
but it was only at night. Yeah. The one thing I said to my wife, I was like, well, you're the one who's, you know, I had to be real careful about what to say, you know, because I was like, yeah, bring it outside, it gets stolen, you know, I can't win. You kicked Dusty out of the house, and look what happened.
Now it's ruining your marriage. Yeah.
Somebody took him.
Yeah.
On your watch.
Right. All because he tracked a little mud on the floor.
Right.
Yeah. But my wife knew where I was going with that. Like, I kind of, and she was like, no, it's not my fault that the bike is gone. I was like, yeah, I know. I'm just looking. I can't blame it. The first thing you want to do is like, who can I blame for this? You know, yourself, you know?
Right.
And this is the craziest part. So I deal with the police officer for like 30 minutes after filing the report or whatever.
Sure.
Now I'm mad. I want to go blow some steam off.
You haven't had a drink in like six months.
I haven't been drinking. I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to have to go after about 7 or 8 cigarettes in a row right now.
Yeah, something to take the pain away from the loss of Dusty.
I jumped in the car and I'm driving around having a smoke. And I stopped to go over to 7-Eleven, right?
Oh, yes.
To see my guy Robin behind the counter. All right. Okay. Robin's a great guy.
Okay. Shout out to you, Robin.
Robin knows my lotto numbers by heart. I go in, I go, easy, man. She goes, 4, 13, 15, 16, 26. Yeah, I go, thank you, guy.
That's service, man.
Yeah, so I want to go say hi to Robin, get a chocolate milk, play the lotto. And I walk in, and there's a guy in line.
Yeah.
Pat, you ever see a guy? It's like one of those guys that you see on the L that's like done too much heroin. You know, it's like dozing off. Like,
yeah.
Kind of half drooling.
Funny story about that.
I'm in the lotto line. This guy's in because there's lotto line and regular line.
Right? Yeah, I know.
We got that lotto line.
Right. I'm in lotto line, and I see this guy, and he's staring at the EMV reader, and he can't figure out how to get his card out of the chip reader. Right?
Yeah.
And Robin is the most patient man in the world. All right? Uh-huh. He's like, sir, you have to go now. You know, you have your big gulp, you know, have a nice day, you know.
Right.
And the guy's like, eh. And he's literally not saying anything. He's just drooling and half falling asleep, right, for like a minute. And I go, Robin, no, it's not going to work out. You can't be nice at this point, you know. You have to go over and try to, but you don't want to be too accosting to the individual because you don't want to have a violent reaction, you know. You're like, sir. You know,
right?
You are very high, and you made a mistake by coming in here. You're half asleep,
right?
Please grab your card and move on,
right?
And eventually, I did that, and then the guy spilled his big gulp, right? He was like, "Oh," and his arm hit the big gulp, and it went all over the counter.
Ooh.
But there's a glass countertop that hundreds of scratch-off tickets are underneath.
Oh no!
And Robin went bonkers.
Right? I would too, yeah.
You know, you'll get out. And I was like, wow, I've never seen Robin lose his cool. And Robin's like, these lotto tickets are worth like 10 grand.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If they get spilled on, we can't sell them, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, and that never occurred to me. So then the cops come, right? Because this guy is incoherent.
Yeah.
And it's officer friendly again. The guy who the guy goes, oh my God. He goes, what, 2-for-1-er? He goes, what happened here? I go, this guy did too much brown. He's passing out. You know?
Yeah.
And sure enough, The guy did, right? But then I'm like, okay, I want to leave now. I can't because the guy who was on heroin's car has boxed me in.
Oh, my gosh.
And, they call an ambulance, right?
Oh,
so you got to wait?
So now I got to sit in front of 7-Eleven for like 40 minutes while this dude, while this chunky's on a stretcher. I'm like, come on. And there was another girl in the car who was like waiting for him. I'm like, it's a good thing the police came because this guy would have killed somebody driving. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's driving too.
I think they got high in the parking lot and then he went into 7-Eleven to get something.
Right.
And he was like way too high.
Yeah.
And so the girl in the car is like, what's going on? You know? And this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. She goes, they search the car, they find drugs on her or whatever. She's like, they're not mine, whatever. And it starts to dawn on her that she may be getting arrested for possession of narcotics, right?
Right.
And she goes, I need to go to the hospital. I'm having heart palpitations as well. You know, like, this is not good. Something's wrong with me. They're like, have you done any drugs? She's like, yep, whatever. Done tons of drugs today. Yeah. Kind of. But while she's getting loaded onto the stretcher, because now we got to wait for another ambulance to pick her up, right?
Yes.
And the police are, like, used to this. They're like, yeah, okay, call her an ambo. You know, we need another ambo here now. And I was like, oh, is this a thing? He's like, yeah, druggies do this all the time because if you go to the hospital, you kind of protects your rights a little bit more rather than having to go to jail, and they can kind of weasel out of it. And I was like, oh, that's an interesting loophole. I never knew that. Next time I'm in trouble, just say you're having a heart attack and you need to go to the hospital. So they're taking her away. But while she's on the stretcher, right?
Yeah.
She's smoking. And they're like, ma'am. They're like, ma'am, you have to put the cigarette out. All right?
Yeah.
And she does the greatest thing I've ever seen of anyone about to go to the hospital.
Right.
She takes one huge, long pull. It was a Newport, like the red Newport box.
Oh, yeah.
Straight
up
red.
Because at one point, they fell out of her pocket while she was on the stretcher, and she was like, whoa! You know, like,
those are gold.
My squares! You know, like,
she tried to tip it over.
The orderly's like, we have your cigarettes, ma'am. But she takes one huge pull off the cigarette.
Yeah.
And they're like, maybe you have to push. She's like, I'm almost done. Take a huge pull, and she shorts the cigarette on the side of the stretcher. Like, she knocks,
no way.
She knocks the cherry off.
Oh, my gosh.
On the side of, like, the metal part of the stretcher.
Okay.
She's like, okay, I'm good now.
And then, what did she do with the short?
And then they strap her in. They put, like, six seat belts on her. You know?
What'd they do with what'd she get to do with the short? Did she have, like,
they saved it, like, they had to, like, save it for,
like,
her.
Open the bag.
We'll put it in upside
had
down.
You go to the hospital, like, get your little plastic bag when you go to the hospital. It was like a half a Newport.
You're like, my short. All I want.
Here's your ID, the half a Newport you brought in from the ambulance.
Well, I'll tell you what.
But eventually, I got, you know, they were gone. I was able to finally go home and really think about the nice days that Dusty and I had together.
Dusty, we got a lot of laughs out of Dusty.
We did.
I think we will. Dusty's a story to be told.
I had Dusty locked, but there's one thing I know, and I failed to do it.
Yeah.
If I had lubricated Dusty the day before with McCann's Irish oatmeal and just rubbed it all over the bike.
Or if you had even eaten a bowl that morning. Did you have your McCann's that morning?
No.
Yeah. That's all that stuff is warded off by McCann's.
It truly is. This show is presented by McCann's Irish oatmeal. It's the greatest oatmeal in the land. Right. More Hooli's Hooli after these.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
If you or a loved one is injured, you need someone to represent you. But don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former supervising judge James McGing. Jim McGing represents injured people and their families in cases involving personal injury, wrongful death, workers' compensation, and third-party lawsuits. Jim represents first responders, and he formerly worked for the General Counsel of the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police. He was an assistant state's attorney, and he was legal counsel to the Cook County Sheriff. As a judge, he presided over multi-million dollar medical negligence, traffic, premises liability, and construction injury cases. He wrote the Illinois court decisions regarding injured police and fire for on-the-job injuries and during training exercises. So don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former Judge Jim McGing of the Miller & McGing Law Firm, 33 years of personal injury and workers' compensation experience. You can get a hold of Jim at 773-467-8000. That's 773-467-8000. Give him a call. He's an old pal.
If you're looking for an office in the Loop, you gotta check out Integrated Office Suites at 20 North Clark Street and 455 North City Front Plaza Drive in the NBC Tower. IOS has an entire floor in these two very prestigious buildings, and they offer the best in executive offices, virtual business offices, personalized phone answering, conference room and day office usage, administrative support services, and customized packages with fixed monthly invoices. Integrated Office Suites are convenient and very classy. So get in touch with our friends at integratedofficesuites.com or call them at 312-561-2300 and tell them Skinny and Hooley sent you. That's integratedofficesuites.com, 312-561-2300. You'll be glad you did.
Whenever disaster strikes, low-income communities are hardest hit. We can change that. Be counted. Every 10 years, the census counts everyone living in the United States. Everyone counts. It determines funding for schools, hospitals, buses, and critical CETA services like medicine, job training, and more. You can participate in the census by mail, phone, or online. You don't have to be a U.S. citizen to be counted. Find out more at CETAorg.net/census2020.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Born Under a Bad Sign. Cream.
Born Under a Bad Sign.
I love it. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Eric.
Who's Eric?
Mr. Clapton.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
Clay's favorite, Eric.
I've had Dusty on the brain. It's been, all bike talk. Pat Chase is here, ladies and gentlemen.
Absolutely. Right. Thanks for having me. What is this, my like 13th, 14th time?
Well, you're part of like the ninth time club,
where I
maybe?
Get to fill in for Clay.
Yeah.
Well, he's
yeah.
gone.
Yeah. How insulting, I guess, huh? I hope not.
No, I'm honored.
We're honored to have you.
I am honored to be here,
well,
guys.
Wonderful.
Thank
the
you.
Feeling's mutual. How have you been? How's your COVID been?
My COVID's been all right, man. It's
no comedy
actually,
shows.
No, that's what's been weird. Like, I haven't hit a stage since January.
That's bizarre.
Wow. Yeah, and I don't even know what to joke about anymore. Like, I don't even know what's funny. I feel like anything I say is going to get attacked.
Yeah.
Could. Yeah, well, he's,
I think you're not alone in that sense.
I mean, not that I really care. It's not like you can't get canceled if you're not
famous,
right? So
yeah,
you can though inside certain communities, and I mean inside the comedy world. I
oh
think
yeah,
you can,
absolutely.
You know?
But
we were talking outside that you think that this could be like the rebirth of like people are like, where's comedy going to go? And you're like, maybe it goes, you know, underground for a while and then it comes, you know, blows up again. I think it's all cyclical. I don't think comedy's done,
no.
You know, by, you know, cancel culture and that sort of nature. But
there's a lot of people that enjoy good comedy. You just don't hear them because they don't have a louder enough voice than the other ones that are controlling things. So there's always going to be a market for good, funny jokes.
Absolutely. Speaking of which, Carl Reiner passed away. How about that? A titan of comedy.
Yeah. R.I.P. Mr. Reiner. I mean...
Yeah, Mr. I think he deserves a Mr.
He's a genius.
Absolutely. No performing.
No. Last time I performed was January, and it was a show that I got booked for, like, last minute down in, what is it, Tinley Park, 350 Brewing Company.
Okay.
They hired Kevin Nealon for one night.
Come on.
600 people. I get a call the day of. It's a Saturday, and they're like,
do you want to open for
can
Nealon?
Can you MC this show? We'll give you $100 and all the beer you can drink. I'm like, you had me at all the beer I could drink. And Nealon? Yeah, let's do it.
Sure.
Yeah.
So that was the last performance I did.
So what is it like? Was it a corporate gig for Nealon?
No. So like the 350 Brewing guys, they put on a lot of like a riot fest down in the south suburbs every year.
Okay.
350 Fest. So they book like punk bands and all this stuff. And they also do like, you know, once a month or something, they'll book like a main headline, like the Sklar Brothers or Stanhope or something.
Yeah, okay.
And so they have this big brewing facility where all their they distribute. So it's like a warehouse.
Yeah, it's like the Lagunitas one here, except it's out there.
Right. So they
350 Brewing Company.
Yeah. So it's a pretty cool spot.
I know the beer.
Yeah, it's good. And they do a lot of stuff like that. So this one was Kevin Nealon one night, 600 people. I was like, all right. And I hadn't performed before that in like probably a month.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was like early February. So January was just kind of like...
nothing.
No.
Yeah.
But it was awesome. And then the COVID thing hit and...
you're riding an emotional high.
And I'm sorry, I cannot... if Zoom is like the future of stand-up, I don't want it to be a stand-up comic.
Because no.
I cannot function on that. It's not... no. It's
a
like
Zoom
this.
Show?
Right. Comics are doing that.
I know. Second City, before all the sort of stuff that's happened over there, was sort of transitioning into like doing Zoom improv shows.
Yeah.
It's like, how's that going
to
work?
I just, I don't know. I need to be in
Has anybody
room.
Asked you, like, hey, can you do a Zoom for
yeah,
us?
Yeah, so I tried one, and it was like...
like a paid one?
I was on
one?
Mute, like, for some of it. I was like, I can't do this. Like, I'm sorry, guys. Like,
yeah.
I don't even know how to work this thing.
Oh, it was like a corporate gig? Like, you'll come do a Zoom thing?
It was like, yeah, for like some... yeah, like a group of, like, an organization.
A sales organization.
It was a few other comedians doing it, but okay. I was just like...
I like that you're on mute. From you can't hear anybody else.
Right, I don't know. I'm not Zoom savvy at this point, you know. So I've done Skype a few times, and I suck at that. So
yeah.
Did you get a chance to talk to Nealon when you did the show with
him?
Yeah.
So I chatted with him. I was like starstruck. I've worked with some pretty bigger names, but he's one of them that I was like,
I love this guy.
Yeah, because I grew up with Nealon.
I love Nealon, too.
I mean, dude, he's and Norm, like, if I could ever meet him, and just that old SNL cast from
I like
the
that.
90s.
Well, he's part of that, like, Sandler crew and Norm and, like, Spade and...
Phil Hartman.
Yeah, and Rob Schneider.
And we chatted a little bit about Phil and that, and he was just a really cool guy. And just, he's like he is on stage and, like, you know, that, like, dry...
yeah.
Humor.
Yeah.
That's how he is in real life. And his wife was with him and she was cool. And like when I met him, he's like, hi, Kevin.
Like, hi, Kevin. I'm I know
like,
who you are.
Yeah, right. You're like, hey, what's up, Mr. Cheezel?
He was killing me.
Yeah, dude. He kills it in Grandma's Boy. He also kills it in, you ever seen the Nick Swardson movie, Bucky Larson, Born to Be a Star?
Oh, he's hilarious.
The buck teeth kid who becomes a porn actor. He plays his roommate.
That's right.
There's another Sandler movie where he's like a plastic surgeon or something.
Yeah, Nealon's great. That's
and
fun.
Nealon's in it, and he's got like a plastic face, and he looks hilarious. I don't know the name of the movie, but either way, that was the last show I did, so it was good to like go out on a high note.
Yeah.
And I did I had to MC this thing, and they're like, just do like 20 minutes.
Oh, mm-hmm. Just do 20 minutes.
And I'm up there, and I wore
just do 20 minutes.
Yeah, and I
performed.
I wore like a suit coat, and I don't ever do that. And I'm like dying of heat. Up
did
there.
You did you think you had to dress up for Nealon?
I don't know. I wore
like
you
I got
know,
look nice for Nealon.
I guess.
Yeah, I think that's out of respect. You're
right.
Like
I didn't want to show up in a hoodie.
Kevin Nealon's father's name is Emmett Nealon. Nealon, by the way. Just,
thank you, Bill.
Emmett Nealon.
Yeah. Pat, that's a new running gag on the show. Is we talk about celebrity fathers.
Okay.
So
track down their names.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike.
Emmett Nealon, fine Irish name.
Yeah.
So anyway, he's a cool guy, and but just to get back on the whole stand-up thing, it's I don't know how it's gonna go, but my next shows are coming up, and I'm just gonna try to build rapport with the folks in the audience if they're
just
even
go
coming.
Right at them. Don't be very unapologetic.
Thank
just
you.
Do your thing. That's what I would.
Well, I don't know if they're gonna be wearing masks or not. I don't know how it's going to go, and I just kind of got to
You can't do stand-up in a mask. You can't.
No way.
There's so much involved in comedy with facial expressions and mannerisms and movement. It just doesn't translate.
Have you found yourself walking around your place doing your set?
Yes, all the time. And people think I'm crazy, like I'm talking to myself. Uh-huh. But I'm like, no, I just had a thought, and I want to see how I could perform it in my head, because I've been COVID quarantined, and it's just been, it's been tough because I want to like get these jokes out, but I can't even practice them on anyone.
I'm sure there's a lot of gold out there, comedic gold from COVID, but people are like.
Well, you know, the COVID jokes get old, so we switch to bikes, Pat. We talk a lot about bicycles.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, got to get new topics.
And we can talk about fireworks because we're getting, you know, it is 4th of July weekend. Actually, this is going to be airing on the 4th of July. So happy 4th of July. Happy birthday.
Happy
America.
Independence Day. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have no crazy plans. The 4th ought to be interesting this year. It's like either people are going to hunker down or they're going to be firing missiles in their backyard.
Right. I'm going with the missiles. I think they're going to be.
I think there's going to be a lot of rogue fireworks shows.
Someone just makes a pipe bomb and just.
Somebody's blowing some fingers off this year.
I've been hearing fireworks here in Chicago on the street like every night for like the past month, regardless.
And they're not just the little ones.
My daughter thinks it's like someone's firing an Uzi or something.
Yeah. Well, then you hear the huge one every now and then.
Then you hear the real one every now and then here in Chicago. You know, you start to get a little nervous. So fireworks are going to make everyone real jumpy. And I hope that everybody is going to take the measures to be as safe as possible. I know that our buddy Keith. The Polish prince.
My good buddy Keith Jaworski. Yes, the Polish prince, as I like to call him on this show. He does have his annual 4th of July. No fireworks this year. He made a good point. He's like, I'm not spending $1,000 on fireworks this year. He's like, people are invited over to the house. We'll do it. But here's the thing. You could sit in his backyard. It's like a war zone around there. I mean, so like you're still going to get a heck of a firework display just sitting in his backyard.
Plus, he's probably got some leftovers.
I'm sure he does. You know, knowing him, he's got a couple
big guys in the basement. Like, you know what?
No, I'm just joking. Yeah. No, half sticks or anything like that were never part of the firework. This was like a real professional firework display that he would like put on. Might see some snaps and some, you know, those tanks that, you know, leave like that.
Oh, yeah. The snakes and sparklers. Yeah.
Well, you know, there's nowhere to take the kids this year because my wife's going to be out of town.
Right.
She's going to visit her brother in Los Angeles, and it's just going to be me and the kids, and we're going to, we have nowhere to go, nothing to do. You know, you can't go see the grandparents, can't hang out, can't go to the park, can't go see the fireworks. You know, I think it's just going to be me, you know, grilling up some hot dogs.
Yeah.
And I wish that I had some sparklers and some little tanks to blow up. And I'm wondering where I can procure those. You know anybody?
I'll look into it. I don't think they have them at Jewel Osco. Are there any trick shops around there?
Man, where's a firework guy when you need one?
Just got to go to Indiana, man.
I bet you I should have foreseen this. COVID businesses, fireworks, guns, masks.
Yeah.
Cigarettes,
hand sanitizer, booze,
more booze,
more booze,
a little more.
Keep the booze coming.
Honestly, I thought my blood type was Tito's after like the first 2 months of this thing.
Were you hitting the sauce
always
hard?
At like noon? I'm like, what else are you gonna do? Right? Yep. Everyone's grounded.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I had a bottle of Weller 12 year, which is very, very nice bourbon, and I just was like, well, I was saving this, but COVID. You know,
Bill, you're going back to work.
I'm back, man. Today was my first day back. I was obviously taping on Wednesday, but I'm back in the grind, back in the saddle.
Today was
again.
Your first day?
We have Aerosmith. Maybe I'll have to play that. Today was bad. And I guess I was. You know, like you always tell yourself when you're going back into a job you haven't done in a while, and if it's a different, if it's a previous role you have done in a company, all right. So for me, it was like, all right, let me think about how I used to grind my days out doing this, how I used to plan, where I used to, you know, and I got used to it pretty quickly, you know.
You have to build a new routine. You have to come up.
That's all it really is. For me, it's just like building a new routine. It's a different style of selling. It's just a different aspect of our business. And I was like, all right, well, here we go.
But this has been like an extended vacation for most people. And going back to work is you got to mentally prepare for that because a lot of people are going to go back and go, this sucks.
Well, I mean, I was like, you do have to mentally prepare for it. And I like found myself, I thought that I was just going to be like on a conference call this morning. Mm-hmm. And it was just going to be like a discreet, you know, here's how the job's going to look. This is what we're going to do. There'll be another conference call tomorrow where we'll go over a sales deck. Friday, you know, if you want to go out and see a couple of accounts, you can, but probably buyers don't want to be seen because it's the day before the 4th of July. And then I was just figured they were going to be like, all right, and then we'll see you on Monday and we'll start fresh then.
And then nope.
Nope. I got off my sales call today and they're like, all right, now hit the stores. And I was like, and get orders. And I was like, oh, man, right back in it.
Were the store owners surprised to see you guys come through? Were they like, oh,
no,
you're back?
No, see, they don't, like, it's expected in corporate chains. Like, they expect you to see you, you know, once to twice a week, you know, like, so to them, sometimes they don't really, the salesmen change so frequently all the time, so we're the face of the company, that's it.
Yeah.
You just better be there.
Well, it's good to be back in the saddle.
Yeah, I mean, the convenient part is that I'm close to home with a lot of stores I have to see, so I'm not driving, and I don't have to go to the city, so.
Well, for all of those people getting back in the saddle, here's
right.
Aerosmith doing it.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Joe Perry at the end there. Aerosmith.
Aerosmith.
Back in the saddle.
Aerosmith.
So, Billy, you're going back to work.
Started.
Pat, are you? Pat, you have a new gig, too.
Yeah, actually, I'm working now. I'm a working man. Working for my buddy's company called SantaCan.
Tell us a little bit more about what SantaCan is, because we you were excited in the car on the ride over.
I know,
tonight.
It's a cool company. So my buddy 2 years ago, like, had his garbage cans were dirty, and he's like, I don't want to clean this. So he like Googled a company to do it, and there wasn't any.
Yeah.
So he found like a business in Florida that makes these trucks.
Right.
That like go to your house, pick up your cans with like a robot arm, stick it over like two faucets that shoot 200 degree water at like 3,500 PSI.
Yeah.
And they like sprinklers. So they spin and then they put your cans down and your cans are clean and they spray a little deodorizer and we go to the next house.
And it's all eco-friendly, right?
Oh. All eco-friendly. No chemicals. It's just hot water and high pressure and then the simple green deodorizer.
I love this.
It's an interesting idea, and it started, and it's taken off for you guys.
Yeah, so they hired me on because I'm a out-of-work comedian during the COVID times.
This guy could do some sales.
So they're like, we're blowing up right now, and they both have full-time jobs. So this is like their side project, and now they're like, oh, we need a full-time. So they got me working phones and doing sales and basically like account
managing.
And
okay.
And it's been fun. 2 months now I've been doing it, and it's, I don't know, I just sit at home with the computer and the phone. I got like my Bluetooth on, and I'm just
that
meeting moms
like
that have dirty diapers and maggots that need their cans clean. It sounds terrible, but it's true.
You got maggots on your cans? Call me, Patrice.
Yeah. We got maggots. Well, we got 200 degree water that'll disintegrate them.
He's the maggot man.
Ooh, that's the jingle for the company. If you're having troubles, call the maggot man.
If you're having troubles with the can, call the maggot man.
Oh. I like it.
Yeah, but the company's not called Maggot.
It's called SantaCan.
If you're having troubles with your can, call the SantaCan.
There you go.
And then everything always goes. Why does everything go back to Willy Wonka? Like, that's just the Candyman can. You know, that's all that is.
That's exactly what it is.
Anytime we try to do a Broadway number, it's a riff on a Willy Wonka
song.
It's
the only notes he knows, man.
If you're having trouble with your cans, call the Candyman.
Otherwise, I'm going to be very flat.
Yeah. How do you think Steven Tyler would sing that song?
Oh, man. Don't even go.
Santa can!
Yeah.
Something like that. Maybe, I don't know.
No one a Santa can.
Yeah, there you go.
Sure. Pat, you getting notes on all this right now?
I am definitely getting notes on this.
So wait a second, Pat. How can our listeners like get a hold of this business if they want this done?
So if you're in like we don't do Chicago, just the Chicagoland areas.
Like the suburbs?
Like south, we go like toward like Naperville, as far south as we go. We do North Shore now, like Highland Park.
Okay.
Barrington, far west, like Elgin and Huntley even.
Okay. Okay.
And then like Villa Park, we're trying to get over here and like River Forest and all that.
Okay.
But yeah, just go to santacan.com, but it's SANA-CAN.
Okay.
So some people are like, and I didn't buy the domain yet, santacan.com. I think someone's hoarding it.
Yeah, it's probably like a half a million.
And then
bucks.
I like look it up, and now they're like, oh, someone's interested finally. $10,000.
Yeah, I know that feeling. Well, that's cool. That sounds like a fun little gig.
That's cool. It's a new concept. No one does it really. So people are thrilled, and it only takes 5 minutes to clean them.
There it is. There's
bam,
the picture.
Right there. Yep.
SantaCan. No more nasty bins.
That's right.
An environmentally improved residential curbside trash can and recycle bin cleaning service. The future of clean.
That's right.
Wow.
We keep our own water, and then we keep the dirty water, too, so there's no mess. We keep it all in the truck, and then we go dump it at a dump facility.
Right.
Okay.
Cool. Look at all that. Right. Self-contained cleaning hopper, that picture says.
Yep.
You all got any of them self-contained cleaning hoppers?
So how many of these?
I want to get my cans clean. Can't seem to find any of the providers that have the self-contained hopper cleaner.
You need the hopper.
It's important.
How many of these hoppers you got out there?
Two trucks so far. We just got the second one 2 weeks ago, and it's running two now. trying to get a third.
By the end of the year, you guys might have like a dozen.
We want to get a dumpster one that picks up big dumpsters
for commercial.
Because when I first started this company, I'm like, let me go out in the field, you know, so I know the product.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they had me on like the worst job cleaning like big dumpsters for this high rise in Evanston. And I like cut my finger and like it was during the COVID. So I was like
freaked out,
scared of garbage and everything. And I had like this hazmat suit on.
Right.
And like we're in Evanston and this like nerdy looking like professor guy comes walking up in like Birkenstocks and he's like, are you guys testing for COVID? And you're, I'm like, no. Yeah, the whole area. I'm like, you might want to steer clear. He's like, I'm like, I'm just kidding. We're cleaning dumpsters, man.
Just kidding. I'm waiting for some uranium, some Iranians in that mini mall parking lot over there are going to come drop some off. That's Dr. Emmett Brown. He works with me. Man, the hazmat suit. That should be the cover of your next comedy album. You smoking a cigarette in a hazmat suit.
Oh, I would love it.
Love it.
Through a mask.
That's it. And the name of the album, No More Nasty Bins. Pat Chase.
I'll clean your cans.
Very good. All right. Well, Pat Chase has been our guest. He's going to come back after this commercial break.
If you or a loved one is injured, you need someone to represent you. But don't just call a lawyer. Call a judge. Former supervising judge James McGing. Jim McGing represents injured people and their families in cases involving personal injury, wrongful death, workers' compensation, and third-party lawsuits. Jim represents first responders, and he formerly worked for the General Counsel of the Illinois Fraternal Order of Police. He was an assistant state's attorney, and he was legal counsel to the Cook County Sheriff. As a judge, he presided over multi-million dollar medical negligence, traffic, premises liability, and construction injury cases. He wrote the Illinois court decisions regarding injured police and fire for on-the-job injuries and during training exercises. So don't just call a lawyer, call a judge. Former Judge Jim McGing of the Miller & McGing Law Firm, 33 years of personal injury and workers' compensation experience. You can get a hold of Jim at 773-467-8000. That's 773-467-8000. Give him a call. He's an old pal.
When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third-generation, family-owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehy's took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRock, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
Hi, I'm Patty Houlihan, and I support Concern Worldwide. If you want to do something about global poverty, hunger, refugees, the unacceptable suffering of young children, if you want to reach people directly where the need is greatest, you should too. For 50 years since its grassroots beginnings in Dublin, Concern has changed and saved lives of millions. It has been the proud, relentlessly compassionate face of Ireland to the world. Support Concern today at concernusa.org. That's concernusa.org. There's no more Irish thing you can do.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
There you go. It's Kravitz doing American Woman. Happy 4th of July, everybody. I'm waiting for my counterparts to join me back in the studio. They went outside to have a 4th of July cigarette in honor of this Independence Day. I hope you're all wearing masks tonight. But if you do decide to go have a cigarette, think of me while you do it.
We're here.
Welcome back, boys. Pat Chase has been our guest, comedian Pat Chase. He's been our guest many times on this show.
I feel like I'm one of the Hoolies Hoolie.
You are series regular at this point, I guess that's fair to say.
Hey, I got Irish blood in me too, so.
God bless. Before the break, we were talking about your new endeavor, Santa Can.
Yeah.
Check that out, folks, if you want to get
I think it's very, it's something we're going to see a lot more of in the future. I love it.
People do, and I it's funny. I like... And I have fun with people when I talk to them because, like, one guy's like, "So how does it clean them?" Like, I can do this.
There's a they should know that there's a way that they can sponsor this show. They can advertise on the show.
Oh, we're definitely going to talk about that. Sure. But yeah, I just tell people, like, look, your cans are gonna be so clean that you're gonna be wanting to clean your garbage before you put them in there.
That's right. That's a good hook right there.
I had a guy cracking
up. So you say, "Hey, listen, come on. Your can's going to be so clean, you're going to want to clean the garbage before you put it in a can. You know what I mean? Sign the dotted line, will you?"
That's right. That's how you get them, man.
Yeah. Happy COVID.
Any good 4th of July stories? I mean, it is the holiday. Anybody like talk about fireworks and stuff like that?
I never had the most memorable 4th of Julys I ever had were up in Michigan with our friend Rob Hostey. The late Rob Hostey. Hanging out with him on the beach and drinking beer, you know.
That's
what it's all about, man.
But I guess if you have a vacation, this is a huge vacation weekend for people. Even though it is COVID and alarmingly the numbers are going up again in most of the vacation destinations, right?
Yeah.
So I would heed that warning, folks, that you might want to think twice about doing anything too wild. On COVID. I mean, he's not crazy, but he's COVID wild. You know? Yeah. You're going to love this next comedian. He's not crazy, but he's COVID wild. You know? He has differentiating beliefs on COVID. But he's not crazy. Just COVID wild. When is your next show, Pat? Is there a prospect of anything getting out of this?
So next weekend, I'm doing my first weekend of gigs at CG's Comedy Club out in Bolingbrook at the Promenade.
So that's a new club here in Chicago. Newer.
Yeah. I think 2 years now. It's only been a
year.
Their 1 year anniversary show will be next week.
It's called CG's?
Yeah, I guess it's supposed to stand for Chicago's Greatest.
Ooh, all right.
And that's next weekend, next Saturday?
Next Friday and Saturday.
Well, I'm going to have to come out there and 11th. Check that out.
I'm doing one show. It's not outdoor. No, it's an indoor. Limited seating, 25 max, which last time I headlined there, 5 people showed up. So
you're not too worried.
And there was no COVID at all.
All right. Well, you're COVID.
But I'm not headlining this one. I'm featuring for Russ Williamson, who is hilarious.
I like Russ. He's a funny guy.
So I'm pretty excited about that. It should be fun. And like I said, I've got a ton of material over the COVID and just my situation during COVID that I could talk about and just a lot of...
So you're living the dream during COVID, technically.
I mean, yeah.
You got employed. You were able to drink during the afternoons.
It was not really living the dream. It was more like pity. Like, people were helping me because they were like, yeah. He was hurting before COVID, man. This might really send him down.
That's true. There's a lot of people in that situation, and they're all in my thoughts and prayers.
Well, that's why I like the Santa Can thing. I'm like, this is great. Like, this is probably... This is an exciting gig for you.
Yes, I am excited because it's sales that I can do because they're selling garbage can cleaning. I mean, it's a fun concept that but everyone can use.
But comedy comes first. Got to come first.
Well, right? Always. I mean, there's comedy in Santa Can somewhere.
There's a lot of comedy in Santa Can.
Exactly.
He's the official comedian of Santa Can. Right.
I went to a trade show when they first launched this thing because they just needed help. And it was at a convention center, and we all just got
hammered.
A little schnickered, right? Yeah. We had these little frisbees that said Santa Can, and I was just like chucking them at people like, Santa Can!
Right.
And I like hit a guy in the head, and he turned around. I'm like, you want to sign up for a monthly package, Santa Can? And we got him.
See, there you go. Throwing things at people's heads does work.
I gave him an extra frisbee, too.
Oh, I'd like a frisbee from Santa Can if you got one.
Bill, before the break, I wanted to play more of the vignette from Pee-wee's.
Are you sure you can handle this, Patty?
Well, because this sums up how I felt. This is why this movie was so great. Because when you do, I have never had a bike stolen until now.
It hurts. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Bill, when you mentioned Pee-wee, it all came rushing back to me. And I'm watching the movie with such empathy. You know, I never had before. And I did want to share just a tiny clip of it. Mike, do you have it queued up? Oh, no. Oh, okay.
We didn't have it, yeah.
We were going to play a little bit of it because this is how I feel, and my heart goes out to everybody else who's had their bicycle stolen. It's a great movie called The Bicycle Thief.
You know? Is there?
Yes, there is.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Cool. What's going on for you, Pat, on the 4th?
So I'm working the 3rd with Santa Can. We got a lot of jobs. Mm-hmm. And then the 4th, going out to Michigan and just doing some grilling.
Oh, nice. Where about in Michigan?
Allegan, Michigan. It's about 20 minutes.
I know where
minutes.
Allegan is. My fiance's brother and his family have a house up at Lake Allegan.
Nice, yeah. So we're going out there. My buddy has a farm out there and a bunch of friends and just a good time. Just going to chill. It's only like a 2-hour
Yeah,
2.5-hour drive.
2.5-hour drive. Nice. Well, enjoy that. I had a question about Santa Can.
Yeah, what's up? Sure's gonna coming.
Be a, Pat, your appearance became a giant Santa Can commercial.
We got 4th of July coming up, and there's going to be a lot of people blowing off fireworks in their garbage cans.
Ooh.
Yes, and we will clean them.
Clean them, so they'll get those, you know, those burnt stains out, or they'll try.
Well, we'll try. If we can't get them out,
melted plastic.
Yeah, we can't rebuild melted plastic. Yeah, we just clean them.
Okay. Well, then there you heard it. You know, if you want those black cats that are at the bottom of your plastic garbage can cleaned
or
out.
Or the barbecue sauce or, you know, flies and maggots.
I got flies, maggots, and old fireworks in the bottom of my can. You got that two-hopper water pressure thing? I need it. It's the only thing that'll get them out. Yeah. Pat Chase has been our guest tonight. Pat,
thank you. Pat.
It's always a pleasure to have you on the program.
No, and it's a pleasure. And tell Clay that I miss him.
I will. We missed Clay, too. He's living it up in Destin, Florida with his family tonight. Shout out to you, Clay. We love you.
We love you.
The Pee-wee thing can close us out then. How about that?
Okay.
All right.
I want to remind our listeners, if you've enjoyed the last hour, you can find the archived episodes of the Hoolies Hoolie if you go to hibernianradio.org. Or you can go to iTunes and search for Hoolies Hoolies Show. This show, once again, is presented to you, if you don't know yet, by McCann's Irish Oatmeal and personal injury attorney Jim McGing in Chicago. You have an accident this 4th of July? Give Jim a call.
He's the one you're going to talk to.
Yeah. Here's a little Pee-wee moaning about his bike. Until next week, happy 4th. Ha 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 ha